Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Full Coverage, a podcast for beauty lovers by beauty lovers. Today, I am your host, the unprofessional, as always, beauty lover, Lindsay Kelk, and I'm joined by the exceedingly professional. Do you know what? We haven't discussed how I was going to announce you, but I think just the most professional podcaster, beauty expert, glasses wearer. I mean, she's one of the most professional glasses wearers I've ever met. Emma Guns of the Emma Guns Show.
Thanks, Lindsay. I take those compliments. Well, actually, just to say, I don't like being called a beauty expert. Should we just get that on the table now?
Because
I'm not. No. I appreciate that you think of me that way.
I do think of you that way. I ask you questions and you answer them with expertise. So that's enough for me.
But
my own personal beauty expert.
That you can have in writing. You can take that to the bank. Thanks. But beauty expert, I would always say, because I normally double check with at least two of our esteemed colleagues before I will say something. I'm not a beauty expert, but I have access to the really good ones. And I have by osmosis absorbed some of their expertise, but I get a bit icky when I hear people say I'm a beauty expert, and I'm like, ooh, what does that mean? And it's not that they went and
that's
did dermatology.
You're far too ethical for your own good. Look at you in this world where literally everyone is an expert on everything. Like my cat considers herself like a litter influencer, you know? So I think it's nice when you can take a step back and say, hey, I just know a lot about a thing. But I respect that stance, Emma Guns.
Excellent.
But I do know you know a lot. You're a person who knows a lot of things about a lot of things, and one of those things is beauty.
Yeah.
That doesn't fit on a business card as well, though. So.
No. Fair dues.
Yeah. I mean, if this were a Bravo TV podcast, I would also have called you a Bravo TV expert.
Now that is correct.
Okay.
I would call myself a Bravo TV expert, actually. I would.
This is not a question that I've alerted you to, but have you tried any of Lala's makeup line?
No.
From Vanderpump Rules?
No.
Okay.
And if anyone out there is curious, I still have not received my Rinna Beauty, which I was expecting when I had Lisa Rinna on my podcast earlier this year, or even it might have been last year. It has been in the post for a long time. I'm never seeing a flipping Rinna Beauty lip kit, and I'm upset about it.
I mean, if it's anything, if the Lala Beauty is anything to go by, don't be too
have you
don't
tried
be too
it
sad. I have, yeah.
And
yeah, I did. It is what it is.
Is it sticky?
It's very sticky. I tried one of the lip glosses. I bought some of the Lala Beauty line when she was donating some of the profits to a good cause, supposedly, as Joey would say, supposedly. And that was how I felt good about it. But yeah, I bought the lip gloss and I think I bought a highlighter. And they were just very classic
drugstore makeup.
White label product. Yeah. It just wasn't good. I did not use it more than once.
I think the problem with a lot of those beauty brands, and I think especially someone like Lala, who's let's face it, is absolutely genetically blessed, is that you could put any god awful makeup on her and she would look incredible. So you would think that the same thing is going to happen to you, but unfortunately it's not. It's like looking at a 90s supermodel in a Versace dress and thinking that if you put it on, it's going to look the same. It ain't.
Well, I'll have you know that actually I have the safety pin dress and I look fucking great in it. It's me and Liz Hurley. You can't tell the difference. You literally can't. But no, that reminds me, we had Jamie Greenberg on the show like right back at the beginning of Full Coverage, and she said the exact same thing because we were talking about her work with Kristen Stewart.
Mm.
And we were like, oh, you know, that's some of the work you're most known for. And she was like, well, it shouldn't be because it's the easiest work that I've ever done, because you could literally do her face with like Crayolas and you could do it with no training and she would still look stunning.
You could rub pencil sharpenings into Kristen Stewart's eyelids and she would look otherworldly. Like, she and is I a beautiful.
Would.
Yeah, I would do
I
it
fucking
too.
Would.
Yeah. If it weren't for the lead
without
poisoning.
Without batting an eyelid. Yeah, I would have that, Stuart. Have these pencil sharpenings. I know. Not because... I don't even know why I said that. I'm like, I hold it all quite personally.
It's a bit much, I think. I think you're
I'm a Twilight person. I'm still very angry about that time I had to ask her to move out of the restaurant because she was stood in front of a restaurant that I was trying to get into smoking. And I didn't recognise her. And I just saw some kid smoking outside the door of Little Dom's and was like, you're between me and my rice balls. Smokerson. So get out the way. And I had to be like, excuse me, can I get through? And they were like, oh yeah, sorry.
Did you take a tone? Did you take a tone with Bella?
Oh yeah, I used a tone. Oh, I raised my tone with Bella Swan. She was with Chloe Sevigny as well. It was like the most hipster LA moment of my whole life. And I was like angry mum at the school gates. I'm like, why are you smoking in front of the restaurant? People are trying to eat out here.
I've always been really annoyed that we didn't see any celebrities when you took me on my magical tour of Los Angeles.
Oh, I saw one yesterday. Sorry.
What, two?
I saw Cillian Murphy.
No, you didn't.
I saw Cillian Murphy picking up sushi on the high street.
Right.
And then he saw me looking at him and put his mask on real quick. And I'm like, too late, Cillian.
Was it the mask from Batman?
I wish.
Did it puff out some gas and did you hallucinate?
He just put a Hessian sack over his head. He was littler than I thought. And then I Googled it and it was like, he is 5'7". So I'm like, oh, it was him. Yeah.
Oh.
Gorgeous, though. Like, gorgeous. Oh. Those cheekbones.
I bet.
Mean, you can put a mask on, Cillian, but those cheekbones. Lads.
You're gonna know it's him. You're gonna know it's him. Now I just want LA sushi.
Yeah, so sorry.
That's that.
It's pretty good.
But when we went to Little Dom's, we didn't have to barge through any celebrities, even though you kind of teased who we might bump into. But I did
legitimately
have direct
promised
access to pancakes. Was it pancakes that I had that day? It was Sarah's flying back.
Lemon and ricotta pancakes with blueberries. So good. Yeah. So good. Also, Dan Levy's favourite meal at Little Dom's, again for more celebrity drop. He did that in an interview. He said that's what he always orders. And I was like, me and you both, Dan, let's be friends.
Yeah. Well, we'll make that happen eventually.
We will. We will. Supposedly. Supposedly.
Honestly, it makes
now,
my butt
speaking
clench.
Of supposedly, I got you here to ask you questions about beauty and stuff.
Go on then.
Shall we do that? I feel like no one actually cares. Everyone's like, just keep talking about... They're not. They're like, please, for fuck's sake, get this on track.
I think the fact that you came on my podcast and we went on a massive 20-minute segue about crocodiles means that anyone who's engaging with this who's heard us chat before... No, I mean...
They're the secret to eternal life. I just watched Wild Things at the weekend and it was very Gator heavy. I'd forgotten.
Is that the Denise Richards one?
Nev Campbell, Denise Richards, yeah.
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's so fun. Oh, you must. It's so silly and campy and fun. And I wasn't very well. And I was like, I just want to watch something silly. And it was on and I had a rip-roaring good time.
And yet last night, when we were messaging each other, we were both watching feel-good films. Yours being Just My Luck.
Just My Luck.
And yeah. Mine being What's Your Number?
I mean, we're nothing if not on brand. That's what I know.
I'm surprised I admit it. I probably have watched that film around 100 times. And I think it was on like the 80th viewing. I finally got what they were trying to do with it because it's not well put together.
No, it's not. It's not the finest example of its genre. But we both went for a Chris, which I thought was nice.
You went for Pine. I went for Evans.
Yeah, which is actually how that would go. So that works out perfectly.
Yeah, doesn't it just?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Let's do beauty because I feel like we are going to go. Crocodiles are going to come into the conversation too quickly.
We've gone crocodiles. We've gone Chris's. It's like it's time to move on. It's time to move on.
Chris crocodiles.
So the first thing. Oh, a criscodile. I mean, there's a mutant no one wants any part of. But criscodiles aside, which is now the name of this episode, criscodiles with Emma and Lindsay. I want to ask you about the first beauty items, products that you remember. Like, what are the first memories you have of being aware of beauty stuff?
Do you know what? When you said this, I think I've always thought about the first stuff that I bought, which kind of dates us back to my teens. So the 90s, early 90s, essentially. And when you sent me this on WhatsApp earlier, for some reason, I had a very vivid flashback to big bottles of palm olive shampoo on the side of the bath.
Ooh.
Like 99p probably back in the day, those big sort of very vivid green, the color of the sort of original formula fairy liquid, whatever that the American equivalent of that is. I don't know. Or is it fairy?
I think we have fairy. Do we have? We might not.
Just like that Dawn. Dark green washing up liquid.
Yep.
And just sort of every week or 2 weeks going to the supermarket with my mum and picking up those big bottles. And they probably were a litre or something. We were not a fancy household. So that was one of the first things, I think, but really being excited because it smelt so clean and fresh. I really loved that clean, fresh feeling. And that would kind of be when I was very little, the Sunday night bath.
Oh God, yeah. Love a Sunday night bath. Still love a Sunday night bath.
Who doesn't? Although now I'm all about a restorative magnesium flake rather than a budget, basically detergent.
I was going to say, at least it was palm olive at my nana's house. It was literally fairy liquid because it was like, it's all the same.
It probably is.
It probably was back then, yeah.
But then when I used to go to the supermarket with my mum, so we're talking quite young, my mum would leave me in the beauty section while she would go and do all the boring stuff. And then I would kind of find her towards like the sweetie aisle.
Yeah.
It's about 45 minutes later. And I would inevitably sort of trek over there, having spent a long time deliberating between a few things I wanted. And I remember there were years when I wanted a can of lilac hair dye. Do you remember those hair paints, the spray ones?
Oh yeah.
Oof. And that I don't know how much they
always
were.
Had like a drawing of a woman with very brightly colored hair, but it was always a cartoon, not a photo. And do you know why? Because it didn't actually work.
And I was just fascinated with those sorts of things. So I just remember those cans of hairspray dye. And then I know you asked me for one and I'm now just listing it all off, but I remember distinctly seeing the adverts for CoverGirl. And it was something like a lip suede or something like that. And it was essentially a palette and it had like a dense sort of waxy eyeshadowy situation, which you put on with basically like an eyeshadow sponge. Remember when we used to use those fun things, those foam applicators that were in everything?
Yeah.
And then the other side was like a glossy thing that you'd put over the top. And was it, what was the name of the model with the... Nikki Taylor. And she was the face and she wore this beautiful brown shade. And so like, I remember sort of bargaining with my mom, being like, can I give you a bit of pocket money for the, anyway, getting it home and it just being just sludge.
I also got suckered into CoverGirl's marketing at that same time. They had a lipstick that alleged to renew itself when you pressed your lips together. It was like, it had like microspheres and you press your lips and it will come back. And I lusted after it in Tesco in Worksop for so long, this coral color that was rancid. It was like a frosted coral, which was very much my jam in the 90s. And eventually I saved and saved because my mum was not having it.
Yeah.
And it was like £5 or something obscene. And I saved for it for ages and I ended up buying it. I remember buying it when I went ice skating with my friends from Asda in Doncaster, the big Asda. And was so excited and then got it home and was like, it does fucking nothing.
Did you apply it? And then did you just like,
yeah, it was like
drink and eat, trying to get rid of it? And then
And I don't know what I thought was going to happen. Yeah.
I remember the advert, it feathered and everything. And then you would just press your lips together and it was freshly applied, which this physics would tell you that can't happen.
It's just not possible, is it? Once it's gone, it's gone. It can't regenerate itself on your face. I was furious about the whole thing. Naturally so. That does take us into the next question, which is the products that defined your teen years, which I think that was definitely one of mine because it taught me that life is full of disappointments and you will be lied to consistently through the medium of advertising. So that's what I learned, CoverGirl.
You say that like someone who has been through that in very many ways through years of therapy.
Just never given up hope, really. just still working through it too.
But do you know what's quite interesting about that, sort of all joking aside, is that when I review products, whether it's on Instagram or whatever I'm doing, I always come back to that product and I still remember how disappointed I was because that money meant a lot to me. I didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
So spending that money as a child, basically, like pocket money.
Yeah.
I needed that product to do all of the things that I had believed, and when it didn't. So when I do talk about products, actually, I always have that in mind. I always think people work hard for their money. People deserve to have their expectations met. I don't believe in slagging off products, but I do think that you should be realistic about this might not suit you if, or this is going to really work for you because. So yeah, maybe CoverGirl did a wider,
yeah,
did some good.
I mean,
in
I think
that.
It's important though, because that's always been my review criteria. It's not been like, is this amazing, is this incredible, it's like, does it do what it says it does? Yeah. And even if I love it because of some other reason, if it doesn't do what it told me it was going to do, then I can't endorse it. I can't say you should go and spend your money on this, or I can say it's not going to do it if you want it for this, but it's a beautiful, you know, if it's a lipstick that says it's going to last 84,000 hours, which so many of them do these days. I just had a moisturizer that said it moisturized your body for 98 hours. I'm like, oh, fuck off. Like, come on.
Do you know what really gets up my whatever is foundations that say last for 24 or 48 hours. I'm like, actually, if you're marketing a foundation as long wear, that's one thing. But if you're talking to people who have foundation for 24 hours, you need to be saying, call our helpline.
Yeah.
And essential workers who might work split shifts aside and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I just think if you're marketing somebody to wear a foundation for 24 hours, who are you talking to?
All of marketing need to come in and have a little chat and possibly, in the parlance of the children from about 6 weeks ago, touch some grass. Like, all of marketing need to get outside and like have a minute. Do you know what I mean? Like, things have gone out of control. And it is interesting when you think back to the claims that used to be made in the 90s. Like, I remember, it was another thing, it was always that same supermarket. It was always Tesco's in Worksop or Asda in Doncaster. And I would just stand, same as you, transfixed by the beauty aisle, which is no wonder to me that we've ended up having this conversation like 35 years later. But I remember standing and I was obsessed. There were two products that I was like, these products will change my life. And it was the Charles Worthington Big Hair Range in those orange elliptical bottles.
Yes.
And I wanted it more than anything. And I can still smell it. Mm. I can still smell it because I remember getting it for my birthday because I could not ever have afforded that at my pocket money rate as a teenager. Pocket money rate. A quid off my nan on Fridays.
They were $7.99, weren't they?
It was so expensive.
What, liquid hair?
The Wella liquid hair. Liquid hair, Wella. It was like a serum. And it claimed, I mean, I'm sure it was in some sense, but it was like a protein that bonded with your hair when you use a hairdryer on it and it made your hair feel thicker. But and the name was so clever because it's like, oh, liquid hair, it literally is going to give you more hair. But what it actually did was, yeah, it was a temporary thickener that bonded with the heat of your hairdryer. When you washed it off, it went away. But I remember both of those products being utterly convinced, with no questions asked, that these two products were going to change my life. I had very thin hair, very fine thin hair as a teenager. Like, even now it's still very fine, but with it being bleached, it has the illusion of being a lot thicker than it used to be. But I was just obsessed with getting those products. Like, they were everything to me, and I don't think they made a blind bit of difference, but I convinced myself that they did because I had to to continue to live in the world that I constructed for myself.
Yeah, I didn't have products like that. I don't think my hair was always really problematic, and has been up until quite recently, as and you know and people who follow me know. I remember really clearly watching Pulp Fiction, seeing Uma Thurman's nails, and just, and then as soon as I read or heard, probably read in a glossy magazine, to be honest, that it was Chanel Rouge Noir, I was then on, not a mission to buy it for myself, but on a mission to hint repeatedly to my parents that I need it. Because it was like, this was going up another level. This wasn't saying, I want Charles Worthington that you can get in Boots, or this is something I want from the supermarket. This was saying, oh, hey, I want Chanel. And I remember we went on holiday and someone had left a magazine, or there was a magazine in the villa that we were staying in, and it had a picture of Rouge Noir, and I ripped it out, and I felt guilty for weeks that I basically destroyed this magazine by ripping out a picture. And I showed it to my parents, and I remember, we're talking, when did Pulp Fiction come out? But anyway, it was many, many years later.
Mid-90s, yeah.
Yeah, for my 18th birthday. So what would that, oh gosh, can't do. 95, I got the Rouge Noir lipstick, because they kind of missed the memo about the fact that it was the nail polish and not the lipstick,
as parents are so often want to do.
Yeah. So but I eventually then got the Rouge Noir, went, booked in a manicure at a salon, and said, can I bring my own nail polish? Because I'm bringing Chanel. And I just felt like really special.
Yeah, that would be great.
And I don't know if you remember, I don't even know whether they've changed. I hope they have. But the brushes that used to be in the Chanel bottles were garbage. Yep. They were so bad that you couldn't get a good manicure out of it. I mean, you could, but it was really tricky. So again, God, this is going to turn into like how beauty failed me.
No, but I mean, but isn't that funny that we have so many of those how beauty failed me stories, but we both have at least certain points of our lives made a living off of our involvement in that.
And even in amongst all of the sort of the lows, there have been those highs when you put on a foundation and it's just been seamless. Or
yeah.
You've used an eyeliner and it's allowed you to, because of the way the nib is designed, or because of the fact that the way that the body of the pen is, you've been able to finally get a feline flick. We've all had those kind of lightning in a bottle moments that just make you fall in love with it, because there is something really magical about beauty.
This is it. Even in between all of the, sorry, my cat's meowing, Belle would like to be part of this.
I wonder why you were laughing.
We've moved on to the more positive moments. Belle has many thoughts that she would like to include. For every wild disappointment, there was also a Natural Collection cranberry lip balm, you know, that was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I am in heaven. And I think that was so marked for me in my teenage experience of beauty too. It was like those magical moments where you were like, no, I am wearing the Boots Daisy Chain dry oil spray, and this has made me the most incredible, sophisticated human who's ever existed.
Yeah.
And I will say, shout out to the Instagram account Discontinued Makeup and 90s Teen Magazines. I will link them both below, but they are two fantastic Instagram accounts that I am completely obsessed with, because the 90s Teen Magazine in particular posts just pages, screenshots of pages from 90s Teen Mags, very often Just 17. And I fully remember them when she posts them. I'm like, oh my God, I had that one. And there was one yesterday with it had big hair on it, which I flipped out. And there was one that had the Body Shop Cornflower, the blue face mask. I just remember needing it so badly and then putting it on once and looking like a smurf and then taking it off and my face just being incredibly dry. But I thought it was supposed to be, so I was fine with it. But it really did, like, it is such an important transition and such an important marker for who we are, because it is you changing from being like a little kid to emulating being a grown up, or it's an easy way to practice being a grown up.
Yeah, I mean, I regardless of who you are, I think if you, the first time any female or male actually, but the first time anybody puts on a red lipstick, you are channeling something that you have seen. So for us in our generation, it would have been channeling someone like Joan Collins or even Jessica Rabbit. It would have been about that. There's a much bigger story to why you are drawn to those sorts of things. And actually I was doing a tutorial yesterday with red lipstick and I thought, actually, I now, like, there used to be such a story about why I would pick a red lipstick and then I wouldn't have the confidence to wear it. And now it's completely evolved into, it's not a big thing to wear a red lipstick now. It's like, oh, it goes with my outfit, or I just can't be, I've got a bit of, I don't know, something in my eye. I'm not going to put any eye makeup on or wear my glasses. So it's funny how the story you tell yourself around products really changes, I think, and evolves.
Yeah. It's weird how red lipstick is so charged to me. It's like, of all makeup, it is the most charged product that has so much weight and emotional heft to it, when it is just another colour of lipstick. But we have given it that power. And I do think it's really interesting. I'm the same. I never used to wear it, and I would identify it with other people and be like, well, that person wears red lipstick. Like, my best friend Terry wears red lipstick, or this person wears red lipstick, so I don't wear red lipstick. I'm not a red lipstick person. I couldn't wear it. It doesn't suit me, blah, blah, blah. And it was actually just like, I'd given lipstick power over me. Yeah, I'd given it the power to say, you can't wear this because of what I thought other people would think. And as soon as I took that away and was just like, oh, I like how I look in this, now I wear it all the time and I don't even think about it. I think once you found a formula and a shade that works for you, you don't think about it anymore. It just becomes another option for you, which is so nice.
I think the one thing about red lipstick that I don't know if you have this, is that I will wear it, but it's like wearing it knowing that it will start to wear off, and you just have to keep your mind on the fact that you are going to have to touch it up. And I think that's always the thing, is like, I want a beauty product to do what it's going to do, what it promises, and to keep doing that until I decide to remove it or wash it out or wash it off.
We're doing this on my terms, lipstick.
Yes. And that's the only thing with red lipstick. And actually, I was having lunch with a friend the other day, and she turned up, she was wearing the most incredible red lipstick, and I could not take my eyes off it. And then we were having lunch and it started to wear off, but it wore off like very evenly. And then when we finished eating, she just reapplied it. And I thought, was that easy?
Yeah, that's nuts. Like, how dare you? How dare you allow your lipstick to wear away and then just replace it?
There's
like
no
a
drama.
Normal human.
Yeah, there's no drama here. But I think sometimes you can, I don't know about you, but it's that thing of, you know, when you used to tie your hair up as a kid, were you like this? My hair had to be tight. I didn't want my ponytail to fall out. And I think it's a similar thing, neuroses around
just in case I had to get into a fight, you know?
Or my shoelaces, like they had to be tightly on my feet, like that kind of thing. And I feel like I'm a little bit neurotic about things like red lipstick.
No, I think it's interesting to me that makeup is the only place in my life I've been able to have real boundaries. If you do not meet my expectations, you will be eliminated. Whereas everything else in life, I'm like, no, it's fine, be shit, it's go nuts, it's fine, I'll work around you. But makeup is like, no,
food allergies, men, yeah,
I'll be fine. Yeah, lactose intolerant, but who doesn't like ice cream? But you give me a Charlotte Tilbury mascara and I will throw you out my house.
Yeah.
I will not allow that trash.
Which one?
Oh, both the legendary lashes, both of them, just terrible. Legendary Lashes 1 was the worst mascara I ever put on my face. I had it on and it went all under my eyes, and I got home. This won't mean anything to anyone except literally Emma and maybe two people, but I put it on in my old flat in Silver Lake, and I walked down to the coffee shop at the end of the road to meet my friend Kevin, who has been on Full Coverage, Lamille. Met Kevin at Lamille, and when I got home it was all under my face, and I texted him and said, why did you not tell me? And he said, I thought it was some editorial thing you were going for, because it was literally that bad.
If that had happened in the walk down to Lamille, then that's terrible. I'm really sad for you that happened.
Genuinely angry. And I tried it again another time, and it was very bad. And the second one I didn't find to be any better, Legendary Lashes 2. The Pillow Talk one, the formula is fine with me, but I hate that fucking brush.
What the hell are they thinking? Don't mess with a mascara brush. We need bristles, people. I don't want it to be rubberized. None of that nonsense. I want it to separate my lashes, coat my lashes. I don't, like, stop.
No, I know. There was a run on it right before lockdown. I feel like people did. And there was that Urban Decay one that had a weird brush. And again, it's the marketing people that need to go outside and like get a smoothie and think about themselves. That they're like, how can we make people do something a bit different and find a reason for them to buy this? And a mask, there never needs to be a funny reason to buy a mascara. It just needs to be really good. And there are so many amazing drugstore mascaras for me. If you want me to buy a premium mascara these days, I need it to literally come to my house and apply itself for me, if you want me to pay more than £10 for a mascara, because there's so many amazing drugstores.
I agree with you. Maybelline, I think, do some of the best, because they also have a really strong variety of brushes. So if I was going out today and got on the train and was like, oh God, I forgot my mascara, I would go straight into Boots and pick up a Maybelline.
Love a Maybelline, love a L'Oreal. I have been obsessed with the Revlon Big Bad Lash, which I don't know if that's out in the UK yet, but it's in a little stumpy red tube. It looks stumpy, but it's not really.
Do we still have Revlon?
Oh God, I hope so. They've been really good lately. I will say, credit where credit's due. Everything I've had from Revlon lately, the foundations I really liked, the colours, I think the colour stays, the Big Bad Lash mascara I really liked, the prismatic little 4-pan palettes I really liked. Nail polishes were a miss, but everything else I've had from them lately I've liked.
I haven't seen any Revlon products for absolutely ages.
I'm going to bring you one of those mascaras. I'm going to bring you the mascara because I like it that much.
Please,
and it's like $8.
Do.
It's really good.
Yeah, the NARS Climax one is great, but I think you could get an equivalent, dare I say.
I like it, but I find it messy. It's messy on the lid. I love the Marc Jacobs Atlashed. I love the finish, and I love the packaging is what sells me on that. And I'm like, oh my God, because it just feels so luxe and gorgeous. I'm obsessed with the Jones Road mascara. I think that is that one I will pay for, because I think it's genuinely one of the best mascaras I've ever used.
Seriously?
Genuinely, yeah. I bought a new one for tour. That was my one indulgence, because I'm like, I would never pay for mascaras. And then like, wait, no, I need, because it looks like false lashes. It is huge impact and it does not move. It's not waterproof, but you can do a workout in it and it will not budge. So like for doing events and stuff, I was like, it's worth getting that. I do genuinely think all of the Jones Road stuff, but yeah, of all of that line, that mascara to me, far and away the best thing that they brought out.
I wanted to love Jones Road. And actually I did a review of the balm and I really liked it. I did really like it. And then
I'm so glad someone did.
And I kept using it for a few weeks and I stopped liking it. And that rarely happens. If I like it, normally I stay liking it. I found it to be, because if you have pretty good skin and you use it, it gives you that lovely sheeny shine that looks professionally done, yeah, not it's, greasy.
It looks expensive. It looks like an expensive finish.
Nailed it. Thank you. And there's all these different tones. And so essentially what it does is it's sort of like a veil of this, a hint of sunshine or a hint of bronze or a hint of warmth that is really pleasing. And it was, after a while, I thought, actually, I really don't like this on my skin.
Because it's just a solid oil, right? It's just ultimately a solid oil balm. I mean, everyone listening to this is now being like, Lindsay, you slagged the whole thing off. I'm like, I did. I was very disappointed in the initial offerings. And I haven't gone back and revisited the line since they've added to it. I thought, mascara aside, which I genuinely cannot say enough good things about, I think the line is very, at best, it's just really good basics. And at worst, it's super overpriced stuff you don't need. Like the glitter eyeshadows you can get from ColourPop for a fraction of the price.
I found the complexion pencils I found really hard to work with. I found them too.
And that's an ex Bobbi Brown product, which I get it. I see what you've done there.
Mm.
But it wasn't new and exciting. I was like, oh, that's a thing you used to do at the old place. I don't know. I was just really disappointed in the line. And I don't like the emphasis on clean. I hate the emphasis on clean because I expected better of Bobbi than to use a empty marketing tactic.
Honestly.
I don't know why.
No, I tell you why. I tell you why. It's because we grew up. I remember like the first time I ever went into store and had a first job and went into House of Fraser and realized I could afford one eyeshadow from Bobbi Brown, and that felt like a really big day.
Yeah,
even if I did misspend that money and buy a shimmery pink eyeshadow, but it doesn't it does not matter.
It was
Lindsay.
The 2000s and everyone was doing it.
I should have bought bone because that would have been the base for every look. But anyway,
I used to wear the foundation. That was one of the very first premium foundations I ever used, because it was pale enough for me. There weren't many that were, and porcelain was it was the liquid. I used to get the when there was just a liquid foundation, and it was in shade porcelain, and it was one of the few that was pale enough for my sad face.
But I think because she was a makeup artist, or is a makeup artist, and it just looks so luxury, and it was so good. It was such a good, you would go to those counters and it was like being a makeup artist when you stood in front of those. That was kind of the beauty counter that set the standard for all future beauty counters, I think. I genuinely believe that, because it was just such a, it was like having every color crayon. It was so incredible.
And so
it is a bit to realize that now they're sort of leaning in the clean thing, which isn't real.
Yeah, it's not real. No one listening to this is surprised to hear me say it. I don't make our guests say it because it's not fair, but it's not real. And I hate it. And if you can't qualify to me what you mean by clean by saying sustainable or vegan or cruelty free or any of those things, please don't just say clean, because I won't talk to you about your thing. I'd say a hint to all the PRs that pitch us their guests saying they're talking about clean beauty, but those PRs have never listened to the show, as I can tell by their pitch.
But that's a really good example. So you and I both bought CoverGirl products because it told us that it stood for something. In your case, it stood for push your lips together and refresh your lipstick.
It stood for defying the laws of physics.
Yeah. In my case, it was you will look like Nikki Taylor. And we were both left disappointed, but they knew that people wanted to look like Nikki Taylor, and they knew that people wanted their makeup, their lipstick especially, not to fade. And so they really lean into that. They leverage their product based on that. And now people are leveraging their products based on this idea that there's you need to be clean. And no one has ever actually, it's like, okay, let's take a few steps back from what this clean thing really means. Do you understand what a clean beauty product is? Is there actually a definition of a clean beauty product? They are implying that something dirty, toxic, or poisonous has been not included / removed from the formula, and that that's why you need to give them your money. And yet they are not telling you what those things are.
Let's move on to fragrance. I want to talk to you about fragrance memories. So, like, is there a scent that you, that ties into, let's call it a happy time, because yeah, let's bring it back up. Is there a fragrance that ties into like a really happy time in your life?
Okay, so I have said this many times. I'm not actually a fragrance connoisseur in any stretch of the imagination. You and I both enjoy Parks and Rec. Am I correct?
Yes.
And there is a great line in Parks and Rec. Amy Poehler's character, Leslie Knope, is in a restaurant. And this very much is how I am with fragrance. So she's in a fancy restaurant and she calls the waiter over and she says, please, can I have a glass of your house red wine? Because truthfully, I can't remember the line now. It's like, because I can't tell the difference. Just bring me the cheapest one because I can't tell the difference. And I feel like that a little bit with fragrance. I think, like, I'm not going to be somebody who swishes my fragrance around. It's, oh, I sense Scottish moss on a cool morning, picked at 6 a.m. just before the birds started. I'm never going to do that. I find all of that. I remember going to a fragrance launch probably about 15 years ago, and it was at Harrods. It was at the big perfumery place on the top floor. I mean, I should have known that it wasn't my jam. Please come to the perfumery at 9 o'clock in the morning. But one of the male fragrances, they were like, and this one has the intensity of a samurai sword. And I just started laughing. The idea of a fragrance being as intense as a samurai sword. I really would enjoy a whole episode of Full Coverage just deconstructing that one statement.
Unless it's Tom Cruise pitching me the fragrance, I just refuse to accept it. Like, he's the only person, I think, who could convince me that a fragrance could have the intensity of a samurai sword.
Because he would shout it at you, Lindsay!
As soon as you said it, I just saw Tom Cruise doing it.
Like his Mission Impossible rant, like, Lindsay, it's intense. Just, it's not even, honestly, I think what's more intense than a samurai sword, Tom Cruise. But anyway, yeah, we really are going off on a tangent
it's
now.
It's the only fact. Well, I mean, and if only there, has there ever been a Tom Cruise scent? Has he ever been the face of a scent?
I don't honestly, I just feel the scent of Tom Cruise is pure adrenaline. Waterside, you know what I mean?
It's neat musk squeezed directly from
his adrenal glands. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Honestly, that's what I think. Anyway.
Straight de Cruz, and that's it. That's all it is.
Yeah, I was going to tell a story that maybe best, but so fragrance has never been something that I have, I would call myself thick about it because I just don't get it. Like if I go to fragrance launches, I'll be like, ugh, or I'll be like, no, that's not bad.
But that's all you should, for me, that's like 100% legit. Like, yeah. I'm not interested in grading it objectively and being like, oh, well, I very much smell the Ambroxan. I'm like, no, do I like it or do I hate it? And does it remind me of an amazing time in my life or does it make me want to poke my own eyes out?
Exactly. So, and I remember going to one of the Britney Spears fragrance launches, and obviously it was a big deal because Britney, actual Britney was there, and we all got to have our picture taken with actual Britney. And then we went to her concert, I think either that night or the night after.
Oh,
and
my God.
I'll let you guess from the impression that I'm about to do. But we're in this, like, the Dorchester Hotel. We've just met Britney. We've all had our picture taken with her and the perfume, and then they're sort of handing it out on the side. She's long gone, upstairs in her room watching Teletubbies or something, and we're all spritzing ourselves. And a famous UK beauty journalist looks at me and just goes, just what the world needs, another fruity floral.
I don't need to guess. I know who it was. Nailed it. Yeah. I mean, but maybe the world does need another fruity floral. They're very popular. I believe the same beauty journalist was very angry with me when I told her how much I liked Coco Mademoiselle. I was absolutely furious. Like, took me to task on it. I don't know, was like dead mad about it. And I was like, but it smells really nice on me. And I have such fond memories of getting it, like buying
Screw
it.
Screw your
it came
memories,
out.
Lindsay.
Yeah, it's like, fuck that time you went to Paris. Like, absolutely stick it up your ass. But yeah, I have such a fond memory of that. I enjoy a fruity floral. I have really acidic skin. So a lot of, as a man in, this is how I keep finding this out. I say this. It's probably not true. So most perfumes just smell like cat piss on me. There's something in the base notes of a very, very commonly used ingredient.
Where are you buying your fragrances? Is it from the woman who comes around at lunch?
From my cat, from Belleville. she bottles it herself. I don't know where it's from. Sometimes it's a blend and sometimes it's just pure. But yeah, I went to Chanel in Paris. I was like 22... Maybe 21, 22, I was broke as shit. Like, we went for a weekend with my boyfriend at the time and we were like, this is the most glamorous, exciting, sexy thing anyone's ever did. Like, stayed in basically a garret that was like, we're going to die in this hotel. And we were there for 2 days, ate like once a day because we couldn't afford to buy food. But the thing I was not going home without was fucking perfume from Chanel. It wasn't. These are the worst. It was for the best. It really was. But no, I went to Chanel and I was trying on the perfumes and the guy came over to help and I just sprayed number 5 on myself because that was the one I knew of. And he was just like, oh, and he turned his nose up at Chanel number 5 on me and he was just like, it is your skin. I was like, oh my God, my skin is wrong. And I fully believed it. It's like that Vera Wang moment in Bride Wars where it's like you don't tailor Vera Wang to you, you tailor yourself to Vera Wang. And he was like, your skin is wrong for Chanel. And I was devastated. And even though that memory was not, you know, even though it shouldn't have been precious, it was yeah. Very precious. I also bought some Lancome Juicy Tubes on the way home at Jean Free.
Honestly,
I think like the most glamorous human who'd ever lived. I had a mouth, looked like a gob, like I'd been licking the chip pan for like 6 months.
I was obsessed with Juicy Tubes because I wanted my lips to look like Kylie Minogue's. And someone had told me that she used Juicy Tubes and also MAC lip gloss. So I thought, well, if I put that on my lips, they'll look the same, not obviously realizing that she has much fuller lips. Well, I probably knew that on some level, but I just wanted the gloss to be able to give me that bubblegum pout. But fragrance wise, I became, and I'm sure lots of people of a similar age to me can probably relate to this, I became what I would call somewhat obsessed with Jean-Paul Gaultier's fragrances because of that bottle. And so my parents would travel a couple of times a year for work. And my thing was, please, when you come back through duty free, please, can I have a bottle of Jean-Paul Gaultier? So obviously the first one in it was in the sort of the naked can.
Yes.
With, and you lift it up and you've got the pink bottle, or the bottle in the shape of a woman with a corset on and with the pink juice. And then they would do all these limited editions. So there was the one with the lace corset. And then there was the one that kind of had the red latex on. I became obsessed with that. I genuinely, if you came into my home wearing it, I wouldn't be able to smell it on you because it was so much more about the fact that it was the shape of the bottle. And it was about the experience of it being this luxury thing that my parents would bring back maybe once or twice a year. And it was about the fact that it was Jean-Paul Gaultier. And at the time, I was watching Eurotrash, which was a great TV program in the UK.
Oh, Lola Ferrari.
Exactly. We wouldn't have Victoria Silvstedt if it wasn't for Eurotrash. And I was obsessed with him. And so I became absolutely transfixed, actually, by those bottles. And I would wear it to school every day. But I honestly don't know as if I could tell you what it smells like. But it was a real full circle moment about 10 years ago, because I went to his couture show in Paris and I met him and I had a chat with Jean-Paul Gaultier. And all I wanted to say was, I kept it together and I just said, oh, my God, the show was just fantastic, Jean-Paul. I forget whose mum it was. But I remember years and years and years ago, I interviewed a very, very big star. It wasn't Putney's mum. I don't think it was Christina's, but it was that kind of level. And I ended up getting chatting to the mum. And she was saying basically that at some point they stop being your child because everybody has their own story and their own connection to them, that you don't have a part of any of that. And that always really stuck out in my mind. And I always think that about those relationships that you have with people's stuff. So
yeah.
If I tried to say to Jean-Paul Gaultier, if I tried to tell him that story, it would mean nothing to him because he left it like my connection to him is not reciprocated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at best, he'll be like, oh, that's nice. Thank you. And he'll get a little bit of a warm fuzzy. But that's not wrong. Parasocial relationships, a whole another episode of a podcast, which is probably your show and not mine. but I do genuinely find it fascinating, like when we're disappointed in a celebrity because they behaved in a way that our construct of them would not have. I find it genuinely fascinating how we have created this very quickly because we suddenly have all this access to them that we have not had before everyone's connection was managed and curated and storylined.
100%. Someone asked me the other day, and I enjoy the Marvel films and you enjoy the Marvel films as well.
I love the Marvel films. Yes,
exactly. And someone said to me the other day, what would you ask the cast if you got to interview the cast? And I don't want to go anywhere near that cast. My experience with those films, I want them untouched by the reality of what those people are actually like, because to me, they are Captain America, Pepper Potts, Iron Man, Tony Stark. I do not want any of them, their reality. To, like, if I meet Chris Hemsworth, I need him to go into Thor. I need him to become Thor.
I need him to be on the whole time.
So it's just best that we stay away from each other. Although I will say, I would quite like to meet Joan Collins, because if it went south and she slapped me and called me a stupid bitch, that's all I want from her.
No, what else could you actually ask for? Yeah, there are some people where I think it would just be, like, I don't think I could be disappointed by Beyonce. Like, I don't think there's a version of meeting Beyonce where I could be like, oh, that didn't go as I hoped it would, because I think my hopes would literally that I would be breathing in the same space as her. No expectations of it. You know, like, I have no expectations of what... I don't feel like I'm owed anything from Beyonce were I to meet her.
She's already given you so much.
She's already given me so much and asked for nothing but my money and eternal devotion, which I've given willingly. But, you know, whereas you meet other celebrities and you're like, oh, they're not how I thought they would be, or, like, that's not how I imagined it, and it can be disappointing. There are a few, I think, where they just probably couldn't disappoint you because their mere existence would be breathtaking.
I've heard that if you're going to meet a celebrity, you want to meet Harry Styles, because apparently it doesn't matter in what context you meet him in, he seems to behave perfectly. So whether you're serving him in a restaurant, delightful, tips really well. If you bump into him in the street, delightful, we'll have a picture, we'll ask how you are. Just across the entire spectrum of potential ways in which you can meet a human, Harry Styles seems to hit the mark every time.
I'm into it. If he wants to come on the pod, he's very welcome. I know he's renting a house around the corner. I've not sat outside it in my car, but I have driven by. But, you know, just to drop in a business card and say, come and talk to us about your upcoming beauty line.
But bringing it back to fragrances very quickly. So other than JPG, the other one that I was obsessed with was Agent Provocateur.
Oh, that makes sense. They go hand in hand. I have another friend who had the exact same scent profile as your good self, because they were her two scents that she would always go for. And I love them both, and they both smell like piss on me.
Oh, I love the powderiness of the... I can remember what the Agent Provocateur one smells like. It's very distinctive.
Oh, absolutely. I remember going in the boutique in Soho and just being like, oh my God, this is the most glamorous, most incredible smelling, most amazing. I love that pink and black aesthetic. I just love it. I love everything about it.
I got a gift voucher as a Christmas present once from a brand, and it wasn't Agent, but it was some, and it was essentially to go and get fitted for a bra. And this is pre-breast reduction, so my choices were limited. But I remember just thinking it was the most thrilling thing to actually go into Agent Provocateur as somebody who was actually going to walk out of the store with something that they bought, not just because they were looking to see what the cool people wore under their clothes. My big regret is that they had the most incredible bodysuit, leopard print bodysuit, and it must have been about 12, 14 years ago. And Scarlett Johansson wore it in an editorial, Daisy Lowe wore it, and it was one of those things that you'd see on people, it was boned, you know the one. And I actually found it on eBay the other day, but it was like, you can't return it if the size isn't right, but it was, I think it was £400, and you cannot get anything like it. It's my thing now. Every day when I go online, I'm like, my Google search is long sleeve leopard print bodysuit.
You know, when you texted me and said, do I need a yoga unitard? I'm just saying it's a practical purchase. Like, double up, you know, it's day to night dressing made real.
Lindsay, I'm wearing the yoga unitard as we speak.
Yes.
Just got my jumper on because it's chilly.
I'm only going to ask you two more questions, because otherwise I have taken up your whole day.
I don't mind. Speaking to you is like one of my favourite things. And normally we do it on WhatsApp. And actually I was just thinking, we haven't actually spoken in human
form. It's been ages.
For a long time.
Yeah, it was last year. Yeah. It was last summer. Yeah. Nuts. But soon it will be face to face, she says, touching her face as if to prove it still exists. But yes, we haven't spoken in ages. It's always WhatsApp, which is, and because I listen to the podcast also, I feel like I have seen and heard you and I haven't.
I also know you don't like phone calls.
No, I can't do it.
I'm not a big fan. I just stare at it as it's ringing, as if I don't know how it works. How does this thing work? How would I answer
that? What is phone? I'm gonna ask you, what is your favorite luxury brand or product to indulge in.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And luxury obviously is totally subjective. It's like one person's luxury is another person's staple. But your own definition of luxury, what would it be?
I wouldn't say there's a luxury brand, because there is not a single brand in any category across any spectrum of prestige, masstige, premium, blah, 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 that I think they nail it on everything. But I would say that the product that I come back to time and again, that is there when I need it, both physically and emotionally, is the Elemis Nourishing Milk Bath. That is definitely a moment, because that smells like warm, fluffy, soft toweling that you would be wrapped in as a baby. And so if I'm feeling really run down, if I'm feeling really like tired and emotional, then a bath with that in, it feels like that to me is just pure luxury, because it hits a lot of notes. And it's the kind of thing that you can just have a quick bath before bed. And if you're feeling frazzled, if you're feeling, you know, that feeling when you just think, I've put up with a lot today, and actually I feel like I'm missing a layer of skin, because I feel like everyone's just I've taken a battering. I feel like it's essentially a bath milk. So we're not talking about anything. There's something about the scent. There's
like,
something.
Fucking hell, Emma.
Exactly.
If you've been flayed alive, get yourself some Elemis bath milk.
But it's that thing of it. There's something about the way it makes the water feel that is very silky and luxurious, and it makes the water feel a bit thicker. And it's just that kind of thing. That to me is just, I love it. It's so wonderful to know that is just in the cupboard when you need it. That to me is luxury.
I always forget about Elemis body products. And they're really good. Yeah, I love their body products, but they definitely would fall into luxury.
And I remember when I first started on the magazine years ago, when I first started on London magazines, I should say, so like 2003, they had the, oh gosh, was it ginger and lime salt scrub?
Yes, ginger and lime salt.
And it was
scrub,
in the red glass pot. It was very heavy and luxurious. Oh. That the fact that it was so limey, so it's really fresh and it cut through everything, but you had this really warming gingerness to it. And it was one of the few exfoliators at the time actually that had real grit. So actually you'd have to mix it up, because the oil, and it wouldn't be like a lot of them. And so God, this has turned into a bit of a love-in for Elemis. I didn't intend it to be, but that was also something where you'd stand in the bath, or you get in the bath for like a minute or two. So you got covered in water, stand up, scrub yourself, and then get back in and let all the crystals dissolve and let the oil scent the water. And again,
I love those
little
scrubs.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah, no, those scrubs to me. And it's one of those things that I never take the time to do for myself. And I love it when I do, because same, the two that do it for me on that one is the Sanctuary Hot Scrub. I don't know if they even still make that. I think they probably do, but it used to be warming, like when you rubbed it on your skin it would be warming, and I loved that smell. And it was, my mom always used to buy me Sanctuary, like when I was a teenager, that it was so exciting. And I don't know if you know this, everyone listening is like, don't you dare, but I happen to be a Peloton user. And when I was doing a ride recently, they just moved into their new headquarters in London, and it's
the old Sanctuary.
Yeah, they've taken over the Sanctuary, and they mentioned it. And one of the instructors was like, oh, apparently this used to be a spa called the Sanctuary. And I legitimately like stopped pedaling. And I was like, oh my God, because the Sanctuary in the 90s was like the height of sophisticated luxury. And I remember growing up in Doncaster and reading all about it in the magazines and thinking like, one day I'm going to go there and I'm going to sit in that swing over the pool and like maybe I'll take my mom and it will be so glamorous and exciting. And obviously like that wasn't possible for me, but the products were, and she would buy me the products for Christmas. And I love that smell. I still find it like so reassuring.
Did you ever go to the sanctuary and sit in the swing?
No, I never got to go. And by the time it was possible for me, it was no longer available. So I was really sad.
I did go.
Did you sit in the swing?
Didn't. Well, the thing is, I went in and it was very much like, wasn't what I was expecting. It was actually, I remember coming away from it thinking, that's not very luxurious. It was a little bit like when you go to your local swimming baths and you've got like a thing that you put a key, a thing, yes, like a bracelet, and you've got a key on the
bracelet.
Love
a bracelet with a key. Yeah.
So it didn't feel very luxurious. And I didn't see the big sort of area with the swing and the pool and everything. But I went there because I was having acupuncture and I was having, I think it was facial acupuncture. Well, and I'll tell you the story. So I'm in the middle of the session and I've got needles and I'm lying on my back. So I've got needles in my head.
Yeah.
And I think across my chest, actually. And the fire alarm goes off. So the therapist leans down and says, so we've got a couple of choices. We can finish the treatment now and I'll remove the needles and we'll exit in an orderly fashion. Or we can leave them in and we can go and stand on the fire escape. I chose option one.
Yeah. You're not Pinhead. This is not Hellraiser. We're not going to stand on a fire escape with our needles in. I don't think that would be that soothing. I don't think
people panicking and rushing. No.
I love that she maintained her composure. That's very impressive.
Yeah, no, she was. She was very good. But I was like, no, this ends now.
Let's get these fuckers out. Let's just put a big magnet over my head and just in one. No, I was never got to go. That's very sad. But now I don't feel so bad about it. So thank you. And then the other scrub that I love, which you can still get, I believe, is the Bliss Eucalyptus Scrub. The Bliss Spas.
The one that goes ice cold scrub on your skin.
Yeah. And it's the same. You're supposed to put it on dry and it gives you a real invigorating, it will take off. You would need the Elemis bath after it, really, because it really does sort you out. But it's so invigorating and it goes on and you get a physical sensation from the eucalyptus and the menthol in it. And then you shower it off afterwards. But I always felt incredible after using that. Yeah. And I love the smell of eucalyptus and menthol. But again, it's all luxury. I mean, Bliss is, I find it's interesting, the repositioning of it, where it, I don't know where it is in the UK now, but it moved in the US, moved into Target.
Oh, I have no idea where it is. I don't even know if it still is.
Yeah, it's kind of repositioned itself more to mid-tier, lower end luxury, if that makes sense. It's in Target, I think maybe Ulta as well, but much more affordable, but the same products. And then a few more brand extensions. And I actually really like everything they've brought out. But that scrub was just, I loved it. So my next question and my final question is High Street. What are your fave High Street treats?
Can I be basic?
Yeah, because it doesn't even need to be a treat. It's just like, you know, what is a High Street staple to you?
Can't believe I've asked permission. I'll tell you what my thing is that I get really excited about doing is going to Boots every month and stocking up on my nail products. And so that will be making sure I buy two packs of the cheapest nail files that are pound for two, because I hate a blunt nail file. Cannot stand it. When you want a nail file and then you go and grab it and it's got no more whatever on it. And then the four-way buffer, because I like doing that. So I get one for my feet, one for my hands, and cuticle oil. But I tend to get that from NAF, which is really good, the NAF salons. And that's just my thing. It's like a little bit of a ritual. Like I really like popping into Boots and I go and get those nail files, the four-way buffer. I go and stock up on, I get two for £9 of the Claire Oil Root Touch-Up in medium golden brown. And I probably buy some soft tissues, like for blowing my sweet little nose.
Get some soft tissues.
Yeah, I like some balsam tissues, so I don't drag the skin on my face. And I probably also just go and stock up on the bog standard paracetamol and aspirin. But that, I mean, I know we're sort of veering off away from beauty here, but
oh, not at all, because that's ultimate self-care. Do you know how long I spent perusing the fucking vitamins in CVS last week? I was like, I believe I will read the marketing materials on all of your supplements, thank you, sir. And I was there for a good 20 minutes choosing between vitamin D.
Yeah.
And it's all the same, and none of it works if you don't have the right things to absorb into your body. You just weigh it all out. But I still knowing that, still spent 20 minutes reading all the packages.
I agree with you, but I also think going in and just knowing regularly, because there's nothing worse than feeling terrible, going to the medicine cabinet and realizing that you've run out of Solpadeine Plus, which is an essential when I
never
feel
happens in this
a migraine coming along, paracetamol, ibuprofen and aspirin. So I always, it's kind of a thing of just like, just topping those things up. And I never buy the expensive brand ones. I always buy the box standard, like 21p for,
yeah,
because that's what you get in a hospital. Someone told me ages ago, so don't buy the branded stuff.
Oh yeah.
So that's my thing. And I also, I'll take my little bag for life. I'll go and get my tissues, my hair dye, my nail stuff. And I'll also get, when it's on an offer, which is usually all the time, like a 2-for-1 or £2 for £3 on Mitchum, because Emma likes to sweat.
Well, Lindsay does too. She also enjoys stocking up on an old deodorant. Yeah, I did a stock up run recently because I'm also prepping for my trip to the UK, which I think I will be on my trip to the UK when this comes out. I'll be in the UK. So if anyone needs anything and you see me, I have it. So if anyone needs any Dayquil, NyQuil, throat spray. But yeah, no, I like to be a little bit of a miniature traveling pharmacy. And because of the current situation, I also have 150 masks. Nothing like, you know, being overprepared. I was a brownie. I've got a forehead temperature zapper to do myself. And for some reason, a pulse oximeter. So I can check my oxygen levels, you know, just for lols. I'm traveling. And I want to make sure that everyone is well. And also, like, I just found out you could buy those and I was just really keen.
But you know that the first thing that's going to happen when you come round is I'm going to be like, give me a blow on
Let's
that.
Let's check the oxygen levels. Yeah, let me clip that on my fingernail and check what my blood oxygen levels are.
Oh, it's a clip or you have to blow into anything.
Oh, yeah, no, you don't have to blow it on anything. You just clip it on your finger. Although that does cause me a bit of a problem with getting a gel manicure because I might have to be like, do everything apart from my first finger on my right hand because I need that to check my blood oxygen levels on a daily basis.
Christ, God.
But, you know, there's nothing like being well prepared, is there? That's the thing.
Better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it.
Exactly. And it was that or like another 24 lipsticks. And I've got all of the lipsticks.
But you did buy a lipstick, didn't you? What lipstick did you buy?
Yeah, I did. I bought the L'Oreal Rouge Signature Stain. It's fascinating. It's finally made its way down to L'Oreal. It's the YSL Glossy Stain. It's the exact same formula. It's the exact, and I will like bet my life on it. It's the YSL Glossy Stain in the L'Oreal Rouge Signature.
Shall I make a placard and shall we go and stand outside L'Oreal and Hammersmith? Just stating that.
Fight me. It'll just be like, fight me on it. It's like, convince me.
The building where YSL and L'Oreal Paris share office space.
I was so convinced of it and I am such a loser that I bought the red Rouge Signature Stain from L'Oreal and applied it and was so struck by it that I went to dig out my YSL and it had gone manky because I'd had it for literally years. The Glossy Stain is one of my all-time favourite lip products in the history of all products. And I rebought the $40. I'm a monster and I have to be stopped. But I rebought the YSL Glossy Stain so that I could make up my own mind on it. And it is exactly the
same. Did you do a scientific side-by-side swatch on the back of your hand?
Yeah, I did an extremely scientific experiment on my hand and then on my gob.
But did you look at the inky list? You did not,
no.
Did you?
I mean, it was about as scientific as your friend's aunt's milkman's best mate on Facebook who's got a lot to talk to you about his own health concerns.
That's why I love the Maybelline mascaras, because ultimately they come down from Lancôme.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's what you're getting when you're buying a Maybelline mascara.
Yep. Yeah. And then I'm sure Maybelline will have one of these stains within a year.
Yeah.
Because now it's in L'Oreal. It will make it.
I'll tell you something. As soon as I see Erin Parsons use it or see Gigi Hadid wearing it, it's going in my basket. I'm so easy.
You learned nothing from Nikki Taylor.
Nothing. Erin Parsons, I could watch that woman do makeup for days.
She'd sell you anything.
She could.
She could be rubbing pencil shavings into her eyes. And you would do it too. You would do it too. That's your problem, guys.
It is. It really is. It really is. Oh, dear.
And then I do whatever you do. So between us, we're in a complete nightmare. Thank you so much for giving me your entire day, which is approximately what I've taken.
This
from
has
you.
Been such a chore. No, it hasn't. It's been lovely. It's genuinely been nice not to speak to you via a keyboard, it's been nice.
I know, although my thumb keeps wanting to like immediately text the things I'm going to say before I say them. We've got like phantom WhatsApp, like I'm tapping this out in my head. Yeah. But tell the nice people where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram at Emma Guns. You can find me on any good podcast platform if you search The Emma Guns Show. And there's a Facebook group. If you go into Facebook and type The Emma Guns Show slashy thing, the forum, you can join thousands of fellow podcast listeners who are in there every day talking about all sorts of nuts stuff about makeup and life and what have you. I think you're in there, Lindsay.
They're a lovely bunch.
They are a nice bunch.
I am in
there.
They are a nice bunch. I'm mostly a lurker, but they are a nice bunch. I mean, I lurk in a lot of groups.
Same.
And I will say my lurking in your group is a much more mentally beneficial activity than lurking in some other groups. I feel like a little bit less like I want to throw my phone out of a window when I've been in your group. It seems much more supportive and constructive than some others.
It is a very supportive place, which I appreciate, because the internet's not known for that. It's not known for groups of supportive people coming together and helping each other. But that group is a, considering how many people are in the group, which is a good few thousand, it's a nice space. So come and join if you aren't a member already.
Yes, all the links will be in the show notes below. And all of the other links that I've said will be in the show notes will probably be in there. I've said so many things. Yeah. Who can be expected to be held to the things they've said in this crazy day and age? But yes, thank you to Emma for joining us. Thank you to you for listening. I hope this was fun. You can join our Facebook group if you'd like. I imagine if you're listening to this, you're probably already in there. But yeah, facebook.com/fullcoveragepodcast. Hit that top pin post.
I lurk in there.
You do. I see. I've seen you. Hit the top pinned post on our Facebook page, and that will take you to the group. I'm on Instagram at Lindsay Kelk. In fact, I'm mostly on Instagram. That's mostly where I am when I should be other places. And I'm also in England and the UK, actually, in general, because also Scotland on tour really soon, or right now, depending on when this is.
Why are you on tour? What's happening? What have you got something to promote?
So I've heard a rumor there's a book out. I've got a new book out. I'm on tour. I've got a book. It's called On a Night Like This. Please buy it so that I can feed my cats. It's my first hardback, which is really exciting, but also petrifying because I've never put out a hardback before and we don't know if people are going to buy it. It's exciting. It is exciting, but it's really scary because I don't know if anyone's going to buy it. But you never know if anyone's going to buy it. That's part of the fun of putting things out.
I've already pre-ordered it. And so when it arrives,
that's because you're great.
So I've got the sample that got the proof that they sent me that arrived today. But I pre-ordered the actual hardcover, and when it arrives, it will obviously arrive when you're in the UK. So you've got to think about the inscription that you're going to write, my friend, because I'm going to make you sign it.
I'm thinking about it. I'm very much thinking about the inscription, sitting in your house,
Lindsay Kiss.
Yeah. just my first name, and one kiss,
LX.
While listening to Taylor Swift's reissue of Red. Yeah, the 11-minute. Maybe I'll take the entire 11-minute version of All Too Well to think about what I really want to say in your book.
Well, what I was thinking of doing actually was hiring a car, and then we would listen to the entire album on a
that
car
sense.
Journey, because that seems to be what we do with Taylor.
It's what we do. It is. Oh, apologies to all those people who weren't in the back of me Fiat 500 when we were driving through Silver Lake, blasting out All Too Well at the top of our lungs. I thought it was a special moment, but
it meant a lot to me.
That's just me. Okay, as long as it wasn't just me. I've been in like romantic relationships where I've been like more sure. I was like, is this too much? Am I going too far? Are we going too far with this? I don't know.
It actually sounded like Taylor Swift lyrics. Is this too much? Am I going too
it
far?
Really did. I know. I mean, it was a little bit. If she wants to write a song about it, I'm just saying I'm available. I'm around. I'm down to do it.
Co-writer.
Yeah. I mean, I'll even like, she doesn't have to put my name on it, but if she just wants to spitball ideas, I'm around, you know? I'm around. I've got the red lipstick that she wears. I've got the NARS Dragon Girl if she wants to wear that together.
Is that the one that she wears? Because I was looking at her the other day thinking, I need to buy whatever lipstick Taylor Swift wears, because obviously we look identical.
Thank you so much, Emma. And thank you to you for listening. And hopefully I'm going to see you when I'm on the tour. Not Emma.
I was going to say, what the...
the rest of you. Hopefully I'll see you. Oh God, I should end this. But thank you so much, and we'll be back very soon with another episode. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.